This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, in you is our hope, and so therefore in you is our peace. May we cling to you. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. One Sunday a year, I talk about our financial commitment to St. Joseph's. Today's the day. Not everybody run out at once. Hope. The first Sunday of Advent, we celebrated last week, is that which is the foundation of all that we are and can be. And it is that hope that enables us to have that internal peace that is the theme of this second Sunday of Advent. We have hope. Well, why? As Paul tells us in Romans, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to God's purposes. It is that hope, knowing that God is in charge, knowing how this story ends, that enables us in the midst of great conflict, whether it be internal or external, to have eternal and internal peace. And that internal peace is especially important for us in what I would call in-between times, where we really need that aspect of the fruit of the Spirit of patience that our Sunday school explores this month. In between times. In pilgrimage terminology, I talk a lot about liminality. Liminality from the Latin that means threshold. That we have left one place or room, but we have not yet entered the new room, and we're standing at that threshold, at that doorstep. As some poets have put it, if we were a trapeze worker, we have let go of the one bar, and we are in midair before we have grasped on to the next bar. Liminality, in between. Most of the important things in life happen in that in-between time. Isaiah today talks about preparing the way. By definition, in between what is and what will be. Peter, in our New Testament lesson today, talks about how we're between here and there while we await a new heaven and a new earth. And that's an important time for us. John the Baptist, who we hear about today in the beginning of Mark's gospel, and it must be important because that's where Mark chooses to start his whole story of Jesus. He doesn't go back to the manger scene or any of that. He starts right with John, and John is that in-between prophet. He is the end of the old covenant and ushering in and preparing for Jesus and the new covenant. John has this incredible realization that someone, something greater than him was to come, and he knew it was his vocation, his calling, to help with all his might to prepare for him and for that which was to come. The scriptures tell us constantly about the importance of that in-between time. We can go back even to the story of Adam and Eve, and after they leave the garden, they are disoriented. They are in that in-between liminal space. And yet, God leads God's people home. The Israelites in the wilderness, that in-between time, so important. And we even hear in that incredible Philippians canticle that God did not deem equality as something to be grasped at. Rather, Jesus took the form of a slave being born in the likeness of men. Jesus entered into that in-between time to be incarnate with us. And it was by doing so that he was exalted. I know we don't like in-between times. What child would just love for Christmas to be here already? Advent does aggravate the tension. It tells us we're just not there yet. But most of life, to reiterate, the important stuff happens in the in-between times. We are all on pilgrimage, the space between, which is a privileged space to meet God, a sacred and blessed space. We find this all the times in our lives. Not a space we would want to be in. Not a space that God would cause us to be in. But we get there and we can find, as we said last week, that God is already there visiting with us. We find it in between jobs, after the death of a loved one, not clear about our direction. And we get this ability in that in-between time to begin to recognize what truly matters. What are our true values? When we're in the midst of those in-between times, it would be the last thing that we would think we would ever say, that those were the good old days. I can't ever imagine us 20 years from now saying, 2020, now those were the good old days. But the good old days are wherever we are, a type of seeing and perceiving that doesn't jump back from the threshold, but embraces it for all that can be life-giving to us. Because if we don't learn how to live in those in-between times, we're never going to get beyond the in-between times, because we truly won't know and recognize when it's over. Our Sunday school this month has a wonderful little activity where you take the little daily things for Advent on the calendar and you're encouraged to cut them out and you tape them together and then you make them into little links that could go in your Christmas tree, that could go into your jar that you remember each day. But the symbolism of these links is so important to us where we are right now. And we all know when you have links of a chain together, the weakest link is where things are going to fall apart. It becomes that each link does its part, keeps things together. And so it is with us. There were those people in the Bible who continued to know their place, continued to keep the integrity of their particular link, and consequently helped God's people to live through those in-between times to move forward. Look at John. John grew up with Jesus. We forget that sometimes. They were cousins. They grew up together. They played together. And John was not divine like Jesus was. John could not have known for certain everything about his cousin Jesus. But he knew enough to be faithful to the core values that he knew that everything he stood for and everything he could do to move forward. And so he preaches repentance to prepare the way, to point the way to Jesus. We are blessed in this place with a legacy of people who have come before us and kept the integrity of that link of chains together. I have been so amazed and astounded as I have done this series on these Willett windows through the months of the names of the people who donated those windows and just wondering about their stories and what brought them to St. Joseph's and what kept them at St. Joseph's. And many of those names from 50 years ago, I cannot find anything except a name in a book. But look at the beauty we have as a result of their generosity. John didn't know where things were headed. Those people 50 years ago didn't know where things were headed. We don't know where we are headed. But we do know, if we come to a better understanding now in this in-between time of what our core values are, knowing who we are and what is important to us, it's going to enable us to hit the ground running, not just when this pandemic is over, but now, as we are doing as best we can to drive our ministry going forward. In a real sense, we are all called to be like John the Baptist, to prepare the way for the Lord, not knowing fully where God is going to end up leading us, but knowing that we ourselves are not the light, as John's gospel tells us, but we come to bear witness to the light. Frederick Buechner, a great Christian writer, has that classic definition of vocation, our calling. And he defines vocation, our calling, as the place where our deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. If we're going to achieve our true calling here at St. Joseph's, and even each one of us personally, we need to understand our deepest passions. What is it about this place that brought us here? What is it that keeps us here? And it is out of that renewed awareness that God wants to do something special. In our times during this pandemic, the vestry has been incredibly diligent. You should have received a letter from me that sort of details what's been going on here. For the first 6 months of this pandemic, our vestry was meeting every Saturday morning on a Zoom call that went at least for an hour, sometimes for two. We have had several revisions of our budget to enable us to continue to do what God is calling us to do here. And thanks to the generosity of those who have been able to maintain or even increase their 2020 giving, and thanks to the payroll protection loan that I'm happy to tell you, if you didn't know, has now become a grant to St. Joseph's, we have been able to maintain our staff, keep the necessary maintenance going on in our buildings, install a permanent video system and other software that enables us to communicate virtually, launch an outdoor service on Wednesday nights, continue to do the professional defogging of our church after every service to keep everyone safe. And that is all in this in-between time. We all should know that there's no magic budget where our operational funds come from. It is the gift of each one of us, of every family, that enables us to continue our ministry every year. Gratitude is what we need. It is an awareness of our core values. You've seen the videos, I hope. Why we came here, why we stay here. And that becomes the basis for why and what we pledge. To connect the links of the chain for what God has in store for us when we are enabled to move to that next room. Mark knew the core values. He expressed it through John the Baptist, who knew who he is, why he came to the Jordan River, why he was called to stay there. Now we need to consider that for ourselves and make our annual commitment to St. Joseph's ministry and mission for the coming year. I have told the story very often, but it's one for me that God gave to us and I think bears repeating. Back in the early 2000s, when we were having all of those hurricanes, one of the first ones during Francis, there was incredible vandalism that took place on our campus in between the eye of the storm. And so from that point on, I stayed here during the hurricane just to make sure there were no trucks or cars that were coming into the campus to do something that we would not have them do. It was during one of those follow-up hurricanes that when the eye of the storm came, the in-between time, I walked around the campus and suddenly discovered that the cross that is illuminated on the top of our church had fallen. And it was sitting out there in the driveway, totally intact, almost as if someone had physically taken it off and laid it there. I didn't think much about it, except how much is it going to cost to put that thing back up there? When about 2 weeks later, we started getting phone calls at the church from sea captains. And they were asking, when are you going to put that cross and that light back up there? Because we need that for navigation to find our way home. Who would have thought? It was with that Harry McDaniel, God bless his soul, worked to get a new cross that was welded into the support beams of our church. That one's not going anywhere. And it was relighted. We took that old cross, and you will see it as sort of a shrine out in front of our parish hall if you're not aware why it's there. As we consider our core values, as we consider why we came here and why we stay here, perhaps that is an image for us to remember as we make our financial commitments to this church for next year. We are called to be a light at the top of the hill that helps others to find their way home. may we prayerfully consider our commitment to this place. Amen.